Good evening. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no chapter in the whole book of Proverbs that is like Proverbs chapter 7. But we have a very clear explanation of how a seductive woman effectively, successfully catch a fool. We live in an age and a time where we know that such transgressions are more common in these last days than at any time in human history. The reason is because the Lord said before his return, the world will be like Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Gomorrah were characterized by the sins of fornication and homosexuality. When sins like fornication are regarded as normal, the stigma of shame is gone. When the stigma of shame is still in a particular sin or transgression, people are very shy to commit them, and if they ever do, they dare not let it be made known. They will try to hide it as much as possible and for as long as possible. But when it becomes a normal day-to-day acceptable way of life, like fornication, and soon homosexuality will catch up. Such sins will become more and more open and prevalent, as you may already know. Fornication is definitely not a crime. Homosexuality used to be a crime, but also right now it is no longer a crime. When these activities are no longer criminal activities, it's now up to the individual to guard and protect themselves, because the law is not going to be on your side. That's why when it is criminal, we have the law as a very strong and powerful help in deterring such conduct and behavior. But when it is no longer a criminal offense, it's now up to you whether you want to do it or not. And if you want to commit this transgression, the Lord has given us the warning in Proverbs 7, if only you would want to take heed. Now we know that this is a sin out of many, many sins in the Bible, where man is usually the target. That means this is man's weakness. We are not saying that there are no male prostitutes, there are two. But I'm sure you know by now when you study the Bible, there are a lot of biblical examples, even in believers, where they have many wives. So this is man's weakness. And because this is man's weakness, and God has made man the head of the home, God has made men elders, pastors, to look after his congregation and his flock. And knowing this as our weakness, hopefully you will protect yourself and protect the church and the family from such evil. So to protect ourselves, we need to know how the steps of effective seduction works. So the first thing we notice from verse 6 to verse 9 onwards, seduction targets the fool. Who is a fool? Well, he is someone who will not take heed to the word of God, as you know. The first 5 verses of this chapter basically focus on God's word. See who would want to listen, who would want to take heed and make wisdom his sister and his kinswoman, that means my family, my relative, someone that I'm going to make sure that I will not depart from. Right? That's what family is. And then the conclusion is again about the word of God, those who will not listen, right? Verse 24 and verse 25. If you're not going to listen to the word of God, And when this particular transgressioner comes your way, you will stumble, you will fall. But I will not, you may argue. The fact that you argue you will not means that you will be the easiest of all targets. Because when you are so full of yourself and confident that you will not fall, you will not take every precaution to keep yourself safe. And because of your lax attitude, you are going to fall. And so let's look at the fool's behavior. At the window of my house, I look through my casement. Who is speaking? Of course, the strange woman. Right, verse 5. Keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So this is a strange woman. Strange doesn't mean that she has three eyes. Strange simply means someone who is not your wife. That's what it means. Doesn't mean someone that you do not know. It simply means someone who is not your wife. Okay, bear that in mind. Not a stranger. Includes a stranger, but not exclusively. And so she looked out from the casement, from a window. And then she observed. And what did she see? She saw simple ones. Simple ones are men who are not believers. Men who do not care much for God's word. Men who are full of themselves and very arrogant. And then the Bible said she discerned among the youths. A young man void of understanding. And so it is a young man who is pretty naive in the ways of the world. A young man whose body is now changing to adulthood, where the lust of the flesh is now becoming to burn pretty brightly. And so you will be the prime target, young people. Take heed and take note. We're not saying that the old folks are not targets as well. They are too. But the Bible here warns of the young person, where in your youth, you are at a very important crossroad of your life, where physically you may still look young, but emotionally you are developing to become a young adult. And as you grow to become a young adult, I'm sure you know the sequence of events within you. When you were in kindergarten, you don't care whether you're holding the hand of a girl or not. And the teacher say in kindergarten, "Let's, all right, two by two, hold hands, let's go to the bathroom." And so you just hold any hand and just walk to the bathroom, no big deal. Once you enter primary school, 7 years onward, you begin to grow and you begin to be more aware of the opposite gender. And then as you grow older to primary 2 or primary 3, then especially during recess time when you want to play with your friends and they are primarily boys, you play a little rough, you play catching, you play whatever you used to do, and then you find girls, they are too weak, they can't run as fast, they are not as strong, and they fall, they cry, and they become a nuisance. You don't want them. You mock them, make fun of them. And then once you enter into P6 or Sec 1, you begin to change a little bit more. Now you become a little bit more attracted to girls. You now see girls very differently, now no longer as a nuisance. You begin to change your outlook toward the opposite sex because you begin to change physiologically, physically, emotionally, mentally, every part of you. And you're not aware of all these changes, it just happens as you mature. Once you enter into the age of 16, where you're about to take your O-level to A-level, that's the youth. Now you begin to realize the significance of sexual desires. And so that's what this warning is all about. Those who are crossing into this line, this age, where you are very, very much aware of the lust of the flesh that now burns within your soul. And that's where you become very, very vulnerable if you do not take heed to the warnings from God's word. Please bear in mind that you will become the target. I look out, behold, among the simple ones, among all the simple ones, to discern, focus, target the youth. Right? The older ones, they're a little bit more cunning, they're a little bit more wary, and because they are married, so they have the family, they have the wife, all these to take into consideration that they have to count the cost. A youth, you have no cost to count. What cost do you have? You have no family, you have no children, you have no responsibility. What cost do you have to count? Hardly anything, right? Young people, zero cost. As you grow older and older, when you have been married for 20, 30 years, the cost is, do I want to throw my whole marriage away? Do I want to discard my family? Do I want to tear my family apart by this relationship? And these can be very, very strong deterrent if he is close to the family, if he really loved the wife. But the young man, the youth, anything to hold him back, anything that may deter him where he may question and query? No. And then the internet is a very dangerous world that if our parents do not protect our youth from the internet world, they're going to be the victim. Not just the target. The victim. And for the rest of their lives, it will be a blemish, a stain that can never ever be erased even after salvation. It will haunt you for the rest of your life. So please, young men, youth in particular, you are the target of the devil, of the evil one. A young man are void of understanding. Why is he void of understanding? Look at the next verse and you will know why. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went away to her house. That's why she says he lacked understanding. Because what is he doing here? Why is he found in the vicinity where there are these kind of strange women? Does he not know to avoid these kind of places? What do you think he is doing? Coming to these kind of places, you think he's going to be safe? It's like putting yourself in harm's way. Nobody pushed you, nobody bribed you, nobody threatened you to go. You went on your own. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went away to her house. And in the twilight, in the evening, covered of darkness, in the black and dark night. That's why the Bible called him the simple one. That's why he is the fool. Know this. You take every precaution to stay away whatever place in our time where you're going to put yourself into this danger. This is not just simply avoid all those red light districts, as they call them. I'm not sure what they call them now. That's during my time. Red light districts. Avoid those places and you'll be safe. That's what this refers to. Red light districts, where these kind of strange women are usually found. Avoid them. But the principle is, any situation that you put yourself in where the focus is the danger of the lust of the flesh within your heart, and if you are not with your wife, you do not find yourself in any compromising position with any other woman. And for young people, you are still a student in school. And you're going to have a lot of other foolish young men if you make them your friends. You see them as your buddies. And you tend to please them because you want to be part of their gang or their crowd. Then you are in great danger. You must be aware of this. Because these people are the simple ones that the Bible speak of. And they are the ones who is going to become the victim. Described at the end of this chapter. And because you hang around with them, you are going to become a victim too, like them. And so you have to be very careful that you are a target, whether you like it or not, as long as you are a young man. And for any and every man, especially those who are married too, you do not find yourself under any circumstance, whether in the workplace or in the church, putting yourself in grave danger for the lust of the flesh to light. Pastors, during the course of counseling, end up committing adultery. They did not take precautions in whatever method they see fit to counsel. And because of that, one thing led to another. They end up in ruination. Adultery as an ordained minister. What is left of their ministry completely torn apart, shattered, torn to pieces. Even after repentance, he should and must be disqualified from ministry for the shame that he has brought to the highest office that God could ever give to any one of us. And if any church were to be foolish enough to accept him, based upon what they may claim to be forgiving spirit, since he has repented, they fail to realize their own foolishness, to lower the holy standard that this office, that this man was supposed to protect, and he ruined it and torn it to shreds. Because if they accept him, the next assistant pastor who comes, what do you think he will do? If he were to do the same thing, he now has a get out of jail free pass. Since my pastor did it, repented, you let him be. Why can't I also receive the same treatment? Right? I got one chance. I don't do it again. I do it once. You let him get away with it. And so now, I got a get out of jail free card, isn't it? You cannot have double standard, can you? You see the danger? And once they find the fool, they're going to target the eyes. And behold, there met him a woman. So she now approached him. Right? She approached him. And with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. So she knows how to speak with him. She would dress nicely. What kind of dressing, you may ask? Well, the same kind of dressing that Potiphar's wife would dress. What kind of dress or what kind of attire the Potiphar's wife has? Deliberately not described, isn't it? It's like a blank. The blank is correct. What kind of woman are you attracted to? Well, if you're attracted to those who have makeup, then the evil one will send a woman with makeup. You like someone who has no makeup, someone who looks very, very much plain and simple, well, the devil will send someone like that. That's why it is blank. You fill in the blanks. What kind of lady attracts you? Pretty face, soft-spoken, gentle, hard-working. You be mindful and careful, as long as she's not your wife. She is a strange woman. That's the context. Subtle of heart, she's not a fool. She knows how to get him. She knows what to say. Don't they all? If they are very, very rude and crude in their words, straight away you avoid. You will not fall prey to her attraction. So the attraction is the key. That seduction means she will do anything and everything that will attract you. Isn't that the meaning of the word seduction, seduce? She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she outside, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She's loud means she is not ashamed to let herself be seen. She wants you to see her. She wants to let you know that she is very much visible to your eyes. And so you look around. And then, what type do you like? What type? All begins with the eyes, is it not? Does it not all begin with the eyes? And once the eyes meet, right, both eyes, yours and hers, there is this invisible magnetic pull that has taken place. And then one thing will lead to another, and the other thing that will culminate from the eyes would be the touch. Correct? Simple, gentle touches. Verse 13 to verse 15, targeting the other senses. So she caught him, right? Touch, she caught him. Went up to him, kissed him. That is their way of greeting. Okay, not the kiss, kiss. Just greeting, that's their way of greeting. I'm your friend. I'm on your side. And with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. I'm a spiritual person just like you. Peace offering means, you know the sequence of the offerings in the Bible, right? Before you arrived at the peace offering, you must first offer the sin offering, which is for purification. After the purification, you offer the burnt offering, which is for the atonement of sin. Now that my sins have been atoned, I have now peace with God, and that's when you offer the peace offering. And so when the Bible here says, I paid my vows and I have offered peace offering, that means I've dealt with my sin, you know. You like spiritual person? Well, I'm spiritual. Remember the book of Proverbs are for people of Israel. They're all God's people. So this is in the church. Church setting for our context. Right? My peace offering is with me. This day have I paid my vows. I will keep my word. What I promised God, I will follow. I will keep. I'm holy. I'm spiritual, just like you. Therefore, came I forth to meet thee. That's why I come to meet you. You are also holy and spiritual, right, brother? Don't you like to hear those words? Holy and spiritual. And she'll speak it, of course, with a smile. Sweet smile. Diligently to seek thy face. And that's it, I have found thee. I have been looking for such a spiritual soul for such a long time. And now finally I have found you. I'm so happy. You and I, you are spiritual, I'm spiritual. You like to offer offerings to the Lord. I also like to do the same. You keep your vow, I also keep my vow. Look at all these compatible spiritual senses. We all have, you have, I have. We are one. Young people, you be careful. You are a youth. And so when you have such a nice young lady who say all these nice things to you, your senses, your ego, every part of you is now burning hot. Oh, this must be God sent. The right person, spiritual. Very good. Must be a good girl. Right? Say all the right things, all the spiritual things that you wish someone to say, she said them all. Right? And then once you stand there and continue to entertain her, you go out with her, you hang around with her, you spend more time with her, do you know by the time she knew she already got you? You know that, right? And so, next is the heart. And once you get the heart, you've got everything. Right? We have young people whom parents say, "Hey, the girl is not a believer." No, mom. We are just platonic friends. I just want to bring her to church to came to get to know Christ. It's purely evangelist. Nothing more than that. It's just purely platonic. The parents believe you. Do you believe yourself? Do you really believe yourself? Sunday after Sunday, you bring her. Then after that, go for fellowship together. And then you go home together. Send her home. Platonic. Who are you kidding? The initial period, it's only the eyes and the senses. Maybe that's why you call it platonic. But with more of such time spent together, activities spent together, what do you think will be the outcome? The heart. Once the heart is captured by her seductive power, you're done. You're finished. We have seen this too many times. The parents will now become the enemy. The parent-child relationship used to be so strong. The son and the parents used to be very, very strong. The son used to be very respectful. But once his heart is handed over to this strange woman, something happened where the relationship between mom and dad suddenly becomes cold. Used to be very hot. Used to be pretty close. And when parents try to break them off, finished. Now not even close. It's become cold and now enemy-like. Animosity. Even when you are prepared to break off with your parents and to cling on to her. Once your heart is targeted and once it's captured, have you not seen enough of such young people? And don't you dare think that you are better than these other young people who have fallen prey. They probably thought the same way you are now thinking. It's not going to happen to me. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved wood, and with fine linen of Egypt. Pretty rich too. Not only is she spiritual, she is very, very materially well off. I perfume my bed with myrrh, with aloes and cinnamon. That's very expensive stuff. Perfume. Spices. Come, let us take our fill of love. Until the morning, let us solace ourselves with love. You see the heart now? You spend time. You love me, I love you. You start confessing your love for each other. You know in your heart of hearts, it's not going to be right. You know. And so she will try her best to assure you, I am not poor. Right, so it's not your money that I'm going to be after. I have my own wealth. I just simply like you, love you for who you are, young person, young man. I just love you. Don't you know that? And then when you find out that she is married, what you're afraid of is to get caught, right? She said, I'm prepared to break up with my husband, for the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Come to my house. You are going to get caught. We are not going to get caught. Don't worry. Let us spend time together. We're not going to get caught because my husband told me he's on a business trip and he's not going to come back until this particular date and time. And so we have time. Please come. Come to my home. I love you. Let us spend our time of love together. Won't you? Your answer would definitely be yes. Probably not even with any hesitation. Your reasoning will also be very carnal and warped. Well, since husband is not going to be around, nobody is going to get caught. And if I don't say anything, this woman won't say anything. Who am I hurting? Nobody gets hurt, right? But before the husband comes home, I just simply leave. And whenever the husband is away, I just simply come. As long as we arrange all the timing, there will be no one getting caught. No one getting caught means no one knows, no one get hurt. So it's fine. It's not criminal. We are consenting. Both of us. Why not? Why not? And so once she knew, she already got him. Let there be no delay now. And so she executed the trap. Verse 21. With a much fair speech. Kept on pestering, kept on talking, kept on sweethearting him. Right? I know there's no such word as sweethearting, right? So sweetheart, like, let me say all the nice, nice things. You have my sweetheart, sweethearting him, okay? It's a new word. Please learn. Sweetheart, ing, right? Very easy to spell. Sweethearting him. For how long? Well, until he yields up, until he surrenders. And with the fluttering of her lips, she forced him. You see how the Bible framed it so nicely? How do you force him? By flattery. By flattery. How good you are, how handsome you are, how kind you are, how spiritual you are, how holy you are. All the wonderfully nice things that you want to hear, she will say them all over and over again until you say, okay lah. Okay lah. Let's go. Did she drag you, force you? No. Yeah, in a way she forced out. The Bible used the word force. But using her words. What kind of words? Flattering words. Men, up to this point in time, do you agree? This our weakness. You all started with being in the wrong place. Okay, that's how it starts. Then the eyes. You look, you're attracted. Doesn't matter whether she's married or not, the attraction is there. And then the senses. Touching here, holding hands. And then before you know it, the heart is more or less inclined. And you know, men can love more than one woman at the same time, right? The many, many examples. The champion, King Solomon. So don't you say, I still love, you still love your wife. Of course you still love your wife. Of course you still love your wife. You don't doubt that. At least you think so. Because that kind of love, we also love another woman who is not your wife. with the same kind of feeling and emotion, you know that is not the love of God. You know that is not the love that God has given to every born-again believer that the Holy Spirit shed abroad in their heart. Right? Because that love is patterned after Christ's love, only the church. It doesn't have a church plus one, just the church. That's it. So you say you love your wife still? Fine. Who are you kidding? Not God. And He's the only one that matters. There's another word for that kind of love. It's called lust. And if you do not want to admit that it is lust rather than love, you better think and rather reconsider your own confession of salvation. Because the Bible tells us and warns us, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, to be beaten, to be ruined, to be killed, till a dart strike through his liver, that is death. As a bird hasteth to the snare, to be caught and to be killed and to be cooked, to be eaten, knoweth not that it is for his life. That's why you've got to take heed of the steps of effective seduction. Because that's how it works every time. Every time. This is our weakness. And do not be foolish enough to think that because you've been married for so many years, you are immune. We are not immune. You want to be protected from this, you take every precaution. And it is not your marriage that protects you, it is your fear of God that protects you. Not your marriage. What do you think is called adultery committed by married men? Right? You're married. There's a word, adultery, that is coined for this. It's not called fornication, it's adultery. So your marriage doesn't protect you. Even though you've been married for 30, 40 years of your life, it can still be a problem. You want to keep yourself safe and not end up losing your life? The Word of God is the only thing that can protect you, and with the fear of God in your heart and the Word of God inside of you, you take every precaution with discernment, with the mind of Christ filled with the knowledge of God to protect yourself. And the first step is where you begin. Stay away from any and every dangerous places and circumstances that may result and lead to this kind of destructive end. No other way. Stop at step one. Avoid. Because the moment you enter into the second step where the eyes are concerned, it's going to be far more difficult for you to get yourself out of it. Because the next step is going to be the senses and then the heart, and then you are done. Really done. Because the destruction is guaranteed. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children. Attend to the words of my mouth. See, God's word is the key. Will you listen? Will you take heed to this warning, these steps of effective seduction? Know the steps and avoid each and every one of them. Don't let it even begin. Don't put yourself in any form or any way that is close to this kind of snare. Don't try to go as near as possible and see how far you can go without getting burned or caught. Avoid, take every precaution. You drive a car, don't let another woman sit next to you. Doesn't matter who. Make it a rule. If the person gets offended, then find another ride. Unless it's your wife or your daughter, your mother. Other than that, they sit behind. Plain and simple. A very simple rule. Very simple. Take it to heart. Apply it across the board. Doesn't matter who. Especially after Bible study, and then, you know, with Bible study, you start to send people home out of the kindness of your heart, and then three or four of them are young ladies, and then you start to send them home one by one. One thing will lead to another. It will never happen. Never happen, please. Never happen. Never happen. Let not thy heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Yeah, never happened. You are very strong. Agree, very strong. Never happened. Either I believe you or God's word. You tell me which one should I believe. You or God's word? Many strong. Not many weak, many strong. Because the weak are smarter. They take precautions. Every precaution. Know yourself, know your ministry, know what you do outside in the office, in the world. Take every precaution. For us as pastors, I take precaution. Never will I ever visit a lady patient in any hospital without my wife. Never will I counsel any lady outside, publicly, in coffee house, whatever they insist, without my wife. If they say, please come alone, I need privacy, I don't want your wife to hear what I'm sharing, then come to the church office. And make sure the office is full of people. If there are no people in the office, we sit outside. But I wanted to be outside. Find somebody else. I can't help you. If you do not want to meet and help you in my counsel on my terms, you find somebody else. Plain and simple. Take every precaution. If the girl says, nothing will happen, Pastor, nothing will happen. I'm a very happily married woman. When they say all these things, you remember? All the more you should say, no, thank you. Married woman, nothing will happen. Thank you very much. I'm not as strong as you. Thank you. Of course, I'm not going to say all these things to her, of course. I'll say that to you now only. Avoid. Take every precaution. The best way is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, and let the word of God dwell in your heart. That's the only way to protect. And wives, you want to protect your husband from such strange women? Pray for them and remind them to be spiritual, encourage them to attend Bible studies. Truly. That's the only way to protect them. Not your love. Your love is not good enough. It is their love for Christ and Christ's love for them. That will be the only potent, powerful solution to keep them safe and keep your marriage safe and keep your family safe. Because these strange women are out there and they do not care who they harm and who they hurt and what they destroy. For she hath cast down many wounded, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Not just physical, but spiritual. You and I know that these are the ones who will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Fornicators and adulterers, who commit them without repentance. Man, this is our weakness. If you are truly born again, young man included, the moment you lust after woman in your heart, take the warning, heed the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. Know that by the time, the moment you lust, you have already committed adultery. And therefore you must repent straight away. Because now it is only between you and the Lord. And the moment you lust, your Heavenly Father already knows. So don't you dare hide from Him. Don't you dare deny it. Don't you dare try to justify and explain it. You are not fooling Him. He knows. Just repent. For how long and for how many times? Every time. For as long as you live, as long as the lust of the flesh continue to haunt you, you repent straight away. Don't toy with it, don't entertain it, and don't let it come out of the inner man. Now it's just between you and the Lord. And the consequence is very minor. Still there. It reminds you of your weakness. That's the consequence. But the moment you let it come out and you do foolish things like what is described here, you go to the wrong place and you go to the wrong person, and you are done for. And even after repentance, don't forget there are consequences. The consequences are so dire and heartbreaking. You know, in relationships, especially between husband and wife, it takes years to build trust. Years. And there's no shortcut. And those years are priceless because you only have one life to live, right? And so when you share your lives together as husband and wife, the more things you do together, the more you build trust. The less things you do together, the less trust there will be. So the more things you do together, the more you share your life with each other, the deeper will be your trust. And it can all be destroyed by one act of this kind of foolishness. So your wife will no longer trust you again. Even after you repented, that trust is very hard to rebuild. When you both first met as strangers, it is like a graph. You know a graph? You have the zero. Then above the zero line, you have the positive, the plus, and then below the zero line, you have the negative. Two strangers, whenever they meet, it's always the zero line. And then as you begin to meet, and then you get to know each other better, the line keeps growing up. It's called the line of trust. And once you get married, the line of trust continues to go upward. And after many, many years, the line of trust climbed very, very high. But the moment you commit this kind of transgression, straight away this whole line will disappear and you plunge, not back to zero, you're back to minus this time. You drop down to negative. Because it's betrayal now. First time you met, it is stranger. But now, betrayal. And so you have to give your wife time to trust you again. And that takes a lot of time for it to even reach back to zero, right? Before you can even be positive again. Because now you go down into the negative level. But do you have the time now? How old are you? When you betray your wife in marriage. Do you have another 20, 30 years to rebuild? Probably not. It takes a lot of time to bring it back to zero before you build it up again. You want to end your life like that? Young man? Old man? Take heed. Steps to effective seduction. This is for every man. And this is our weakness. Admit it. Then you take every steps protect yourself, every precaution. The moment you think that is not going to happen to me, I'm strong, rest assured you'll be the next victim. It's only a matter of time. A BP pastor, first year, the church gave him a very warm and happy welcome. Just over 1 year into the second year, they asked him to resign because he committed adultery with a church member that he was counseling. And because he repented, they didn't want to shame the family, the wife and the children. They just simply said that he is leaving for personal reasons. So he left. And before you know it, another church invited him to be their pastor. And so he happily accepted. Again, a year plus later, what do you think happened? Make a guess. Make a guess. Another incident. Another adulterous relationship. I don't know which one was which, the first time or the second time. One was with a married woman, the other one was with a single lady. Same person. FEBC graduate. Knowing the Bible in your head is only good if you obey it. It has to be in the heart. That's why the fear of the Lord, with the knowledge of the Word of God. The Word of God alone, without the fear of God, is no use. Knowledge with the fear of God protects. Word of God alone, no. Fear of God without knowledge also won't. It has to be both. If you have the fear of God, you don't know Him. Fear of what? What kind of God are you fearing? But with the fear of God and the knowledge of God, you know the God of the Bible very well. And you're afraid of His anger, His holy anger against you. And therefore, you behave. And you stay away from this kind of danger. The Bible already taught us and warned us. Take the first step. Avoid that first step, I mean. So that the second, the third, and the rest will not follow. Would you? Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our heart, O Lord, tonight especially to all the men, especially to the young men, the youth in particular. May Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and put the fear of God in every one of us, especially the young men and all the men in this congregation, that this sin that You have warned us to be very wary of will not be found in anyone in Truth BP Church. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and may the fear of God keep us in the path of holiness all the days of our lives until the Lord's soon return. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.